This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media. We're about to speak to Neville Pattinson, who's the Director of Business Development, Technology and Government Affairs for Xalto Americas. Welcome to Etopia Media.
Thank you, and hello, Mark.
You're talking to us from an airport lounge, so the sound quality may not be optimal, but we're going to hope for the best.
Indeed.
Why don't you let our listeners get a little bit of background here by talking about what is a smart card, how it differs and relates to RFID?
Certainly. Well, Mark, a smart card is a well-proven and well-used technology around the world in many applications. Smart card technology is based on having a sophisticated, secure electronic chip inside a plastic card. And that electronic chip has an operating system like Microsoft does for Windows. Xalto does for smart card chips. We write operating systems for those chips. And those operating systems are very sophisticated applications that will look after information contained within the smart card technology and will ensure that any external equipment or any external inquiry is proven to be a trusted inquiry and will make sure that any access information is closely guarded and only the information that that external entity is inquiring about is given outside the smart card. So it is a little security agent in the hands of the user.
Okay, and in fact, yes, go ahead. In fact, in an age where an iPod essentially performs the function of what a stereo system used to do, a smart card really is a computer that you can put in your wallet, absent a keyboard and a monitor, which functions are actually handled by readers and other external devices.
That's correct. It's a computer, but I would stress that it's definitely a secure computer. It's one that doesn't have any access to any nefarious viruses or anything like that. It's a fixed-function computer with a lot of security protocols and security defenses. So, it's, as I said, it's a security agent in the hands of the user.
Okay, and then how does RFID relate to a smart card?
Well, RFID is a very broad term for radio frequency identification, and I'd certainly like to show that there are two distinct types of technologies that work in this space, and unfortunately most implication of RFID is that they are the same when they are very different. RFID in its basic case is what I would say is for use by pallets and products for tracking those. It's not for people. And that is a very insecure fixed function electronic chip. There's no operating system, no intelligence. It's just a dedicated chip that will respond when powered with radio frequency waves. It will wake up, transmit a unique serial number, and go back to sleep. And it will do that any time the radio frequency is applied to the device.
Okay, and a contactless smart card, on the other hand, is what?
Well, that is a sophisticated radio communication link, which we use between the smart card and the external reader. And there are protocols that will be used to establish trust between the smart card and the external equipment, and the external equipment and the smart card. So there is a security procedure that's followed to see if you can gain access to the smart card, and if you then gain access to any information that goes between the smart card and the external world over the contactless interface, is encrypted, so nobody can eavesdrop it while it's going across the link.
Okay, talking about that trust that exists with a contactless smart card system, what are the range of possibilities about who establishes it and who maintains it and who gets to control the flow of information?
That should be the issuer of the smart card to the user. Whoever the issuer is, they should define a security and privacy policy of the application that they have in mind. And that should define what security practices will be required, i.e. How the cards and terminals will work together and not work with anything else, how they will be protected from anybody just wanting to listen in when they shouldn't, and making sure that the information that they protect inside the cards is only divulged to the authorized party. So the issuer is entirely responsible for determining the security regime used in implementing those systems.
Okay.
Privacy of that information should therefore be considered at the very outset, along with the security procedures, so that they make sure that the information that's of a private nature is maintained and respected with great self and due diligence.
But the whole idea then with a contactless smart card is that a regime is established, a principal purpose of which is to maintain the security, integrity, and privacy of the information contained on the card.
Exactly. And there's a very fine example of that today, now emerging as the electronic passport, with the State Department there issuing passports for U.S. travelers that will have a chip based in there, including privacy information such as your photograph and name and so on. And that information is entirely secure in the passport and only accessible through appropriate security procedures to border control officials. So contactless smart card technology is secure, is proven, and can be very good at protecting the privacy of the citizen.
Okay. Now, having established the difference between simple and rather primitive RFID technology and contactless smart cards, could you comment a little bit on the recent effort to legislate a moratorium on the use of RFID in government documents in California, which at the time was called SB 682 and now through some legislative fancy footwork has become SB 768?
Well, Mark, that is a very disturbing piece of legislation from my perspective. I really find it surprising to see legislation that tries to outlaw the use of a technology that I think is a strange way to use legislation. However, looking at the legislation and having been in negotiation with the various folks involved on this for some time, it still has an extreme distrust of the capabilities of smart card technology in the form of contactless environments. For RFID, I would say they have a case. But for smart card technology, it's completely inappropriate.
Okay, let me ask about that distinction. In the time that I was covering the bill and talking to people from industry and the senator who sponsored it, the discussion was always about RFID, and he was worried about identity theft and government surveillance, and the industry said that's not something that is a problem. Should the debate have been about RFID versus contactless smart cards, or was it a sort of a straw person arguing against RFID? Should the real application that might be considered for government documents be contactless smart cards? And what's the relationship there between the political, the legal, and the technological? And how could you clarify what the issues are from your point of view?
Well, I think certainly the legislation was extremely broad, and it tried to encompass both RFID and contactless smart card technology in one encompassing ban of the use of that in government applications. And based on just an RFID technology, that is probably appropriate, that it is a static number. It's always going to be transmitting the same number, and therefore there is no real security in that number of it being transmitted, and ultimately it could be used to track that person, which is what I said. RFID is the pallet and product.
And essentially it is appropriate and analogous to a person as an object, as a pallet, as a piece of merchandise.
Exactly, but it's inappropriate in the use for people. And that's where contactless smart card technology has been widely deployed and is extremely capable of protecting the privacy of the individual, making sure that nothing between the contact with smart card and the equipment that is reading it can be intercepted or read or made use of for any purposes towards tracking or identifying the individual.
It's
very hard for years to make sure that is the case.
Do you have any general information or specific information based on your involvement in the process about why the debate didn't become essentially RFID bad for humans, contactless smart cards good? And why the legislation wasn't crafted to say you can't use RFID, but you could use contactless smart cards?
I think after many discussions and many sessions were done, educating as much as we could various folks, there was still a complete unwillingness to accept that there was a difference between the dumb RFID technology and the very secure smart card technology. They didn't seemed to bundle them both as one subject, and the fact that it included a radio frequency communication was enough for them to associate the two together.
So are you saying that better education of the public and of the elected officials and everyone involved on the distinction between dumb RFID and smart contactless smart cards could essentially resolve the concerns of those people, including the civil libertarians, who were very much worried about the implications of what apparently you're saying were bundled together in concerns about RFID and contactless smart cards?
In part, I believe you're correct. We should be doing a lot more education about the differences. We should be trying to show the differences. It's not helped by folks like this and media who do not distinguish between the two. However, there needs to be a policy. My recommendation for this bill or future versions of it would be that we look at appropriate use of security and privacy practices and define a policy that says, okay, if we're going to do this with this technology, then let's make sure that things are secure, that the privacy of the individual is protected, and that they can be measured and audited. And on that basis, we've got the State Department issuing contactless smart cards technologies to every traveling U.S. citizen with a passport. We have every federal government agency issuing a badge to their employees under Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, which includes contactless smart card technology. We have all of these agencies issuing this to either government officials or citizens already, and we've had the eyes and ears of the most appropriate security folks up in NIST looking at these technologies and guiding the federal and state programs as to how they should be implemented. And here we see a complete difference of opinion in California. And I think education is part of it. I think a review of what this technology can do in contactless smart card technology is appropriate. And then ultimately, when it comes to issuing any of these, they should be done under a privacy and security policy that opens the debate between the issuer and the community that's going to receive the issued devices, so that they can be assured that their information is protected, that it is secure, and that they're in control.
Okay, say a little bit about the Department of Defense's Common Access Card Program and also about the FIPS 141 Level 2 certification, how they work together and what kind of security is provided through the combination of those that card and that a protocol.
Certainly. Well, I would certainly recommend you speak directly to the Department of Defense for the latest information, but we're aware that they've issued somewhere around 6.5 million common access cards, of which Xalto has provided the majority of those over the last 4 years. Those cards are all cryptographically checked through a version of which is the Federal Information Processing Standard, number 140-2, which is the highest security cryptographic certification that you can achieve under the federal government's requirements for introducing a product for use in a communications or computing environment that will involve cryptographic encryption or cryptographic signatures on documents and use for access into computer or doors, physical access systems. So we've achieved that on the DoD Common Access Card. It's extremely secure, and every member of the armed services is now using them on a day-to-day basis.
And in fact, without getting into stuff that I neither understand nor have access to the details about, a fighter pilot's checking out a fighter plane, or people getting access to nuclear facilities use those kind of common access cards with the appropriate clearances to gain access to extremely important, significant, and dangerous pieces of equipment, don't they?
I think you'd probably need to get that from the Department of Defense directly. They are used for generalized computer access and for physical access. As to the extent they're used to get to extremely sensitive equipment, I really don't know.
But in routine computer access questions, that's what they're used for?
Yes, logging onto computers and to getting into bases. And so forth, yes.
And what in general is the security and privacy record of using this technology by these 6.5 million people?
Well, I think, the Department of Defense are using it. We had to go through extreme measures to create technology that would work with the Department of Defense's requirements, which were the hardest in the world to achieve, and the ZELT was the first country to do that in 2001, and since then the program has gone from strength to strength, and we're now looking at the next generation of CAT cards, and that has set the standard for every federal agency now to issue smart cards to every employee. So I think it's an exemplary record of security and maintaining privacy.
Okay, what could you say about, we pretty much lambasted the RFID option here. What's the difference in cost, and is that significant between RFID and contactless smart cards?
Well, cost is very different between the two technologies. An RFID technology is sometimes, under $1, and it's really disposable, as we said before. It goes on pallets and products, and it's expected to be disposed once it's gone through the chain of tracking through the inventory control system. Contactless smart card technology, deployed in large numbers, could be in the range of $6 to $10, depending on the volume and the complexity that is asked for.
And what about the relative value added? Because the contactless smart cards are both a permanent fixture of the process, and can deliver, as you've said, these levels of security and data integrity and privacy. What's the business model? What's the return on investment of the $6 to $10 that's used to provide the card? And what about the ongoing expenses of maintaining the network that it's a part of?
You're absolutely right, Mark. We can't really compare apples with apples when we talk about RFID and smart card technology. RFID is disposable. It's used once for one thing. Smart card technology is a secure computer which can do multiple applications at once.
Sort of the difference between a paper plate and nice china.
Even more than that. It's a paper plate and an entire china set. The smart card technology is able to do a badge for visual inspection. It's able to do logging onto your computer securely. It's able to get you into a door. It's able to digitally find documents. It's able to do an electronic purse for buying things. It's able to do training records, health records, all a host of applications, most significantly for computer access and logging into remote systems for two-factor authentication.
Okay, two things about that. When it's used to log in to a remote computer network, its purpose, among other things, is to limit the access of the user, but once the user is appropriately logged in, if he or she is entitled to be so, then it can tell us about digital certificates on these smart cards as a way of establishing, for the purposes of the network, the absolute identity of the user, and in that context, talk about biometrics as a further reinforcement of those principles.
I will say that the cards contain multiple certificates. Some are authentication certificates with special keys, and some are signing certificates. So for authentication, the card and the external equipment would go through a protocol where it would require the user to show their presence, and that can be in the form of a PIN code, a 6-digit, 8-digit PIN code that they could type in. It could also be a biometric, a fingerprint, an iris image, facial image. Any of those biometrics would be appropriate. They could be used in conjunction with a PIN code if the security requirement is sufficient. And that would then allow the card to perform a secure interaction with the external equipment to authenticate that the user is present and the card is authentic to the system. The system knows about it because it has the keys that the system expects it to have. So that allows secure remote access and secure access by the remote person. So tying and linking the individual to the card and the card into the system creates that chain of trust for logging into remote systems.
Okay. I think we've established pretty much the background now and the distinction between RFID and contactless smart cards. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Smart Card Alliance, what it is, and more particularly the Contactless Payments Council that it's created recently, and what the mission and plans for that will be. Why don't you start by just saying a little bit about what the Smart Card Alliance is? It apparently was formed by some sort of merger, and what its mission now is.
So the Smart Card Alliance is an organization with many member companies from the industry of smart cards and physical access system providers and associated companies. Its charter is to promote the smart card technology into applications in North America and South America. It is run by our executive director, a gentleman called Randy Vanderhoof. And the structure of that is a board of directors that work with him to guide and direct the activities of the Smart Card Alliance. They're very productive in education of smart card technology. They are very active in specialist councils, of which there are several councils, one of them being the contactless council that you described. In a few months, they're holding a conference down in Miami, which is an open invitation to people to come and understand and listen to some of the leaders in the smart card industry and the associated customers on how they're deploying their card technology and what benefits they're bringing to their users.
Okay. Go ahead.
You want to hear about talk about the contactless council, right?
I do. And when I first read about it, it seemed to me that this was an expansion of what a mobile oil company had done with its little wand that people wave in front of gas pumps and get gas, as well as the same kind of principle that's used in speed passes, fast track, and those kind of applications for people going into bridges or turn over bridges, through tunnels, over turnpikes, and otherwise identifying themselves on the run to networks. And this seems like an expansion of what was essentially a test through the mobile a speed pass system.
Speed pass is an RFID device, an RFID tag. It's not a smart card.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Good. Thanks for clarifying that.
It's securing electronic payments. So it's using contactless smart card technology in a contactless payment environment, and there are, such as the MasterCard's PayPass brand, that they're now promoting, showing how you can use contactless smart card technology to securely pay for your goods at a suitably equipped point-of-sale terminal by waving and touching the card on the reader.
Now, is this likely? Will this work with both credit cards and debit cards?
I think it's a specific brand PayPass. It's for credit card information. I do not believe it's for debit cards.
Okay. And who all has adopted it so far?
I really am not familiar with who's the main adopters of this. It's certainly MasterCard have released the specification, and various member banks will be signing up and deploying that technology, and I believe some of them are in progress, but I don't have the specific information.
Okay, and again, the mission of the Contactless Payments Council is going to be what?
Well, the mission of that is to help promote the use of smart card technology in the general e-commerce environment, and making sure that the security is maintained, that the technology is used well, that it's not confused with the insecure technology, and to promote interoperability and standards within that environment.
I'm not sure you know about this, but if you do, tell us. If you don't, tell us you don't. With a credit card, people need to sign a piece of paper saying that they agree to the terms of the essential mini loan there. With a contactless smart card being used for payments, will they still be signing something by hand, or will their possession of the contactless smart card constitute sufficient verification of their entitlement to incur the debt, assuming that the account goes through?
I think that will be the policy of the merchant as to what they're ready to receive and to do for contactless payment. Clearly, there's the convenience of touching and of going. You're not do a great deal. It transmits the same information that the magnetic stripe currently holds in the card. So once that's done, there would probably be no difference in that it's still fine. A physical piece of paper. You really still need to have a biometric authentication on the basis of looking at the card, not just waving and going. So some applications may indeed be quite happy with just touching the payment technology, but in general, it's transmitting exactly the same information as the magnetic stripe card. So any process and procedures would be the same that they already use.
So in fact, it could be as much as what you just said, as wave and go, or it could involve a fingerprint or even a facial recognition done automatically as well.
So I'm not sure that we'd get biometrics in that environment. I think at the moment it's positioned such that you're using a card to accurately present the magnetic stripe information or the account information that was stored on the magnetic stripe reliably over a convenient interface, and procedures and processes should be the same.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any plans to implement biometrics in that environment.
Okay.
There are, however, other companies that are providing biometric solutions for supermarkets. I think there's a trial in California where there are no cards involved. It's just you fingerprint down and, you pay, having already registered your credit card with them, earlier, so it just recognizes you on their till from a previous enrollment. That doesn't involve any smart card.
Okay. Does the smart card environment allow for something that I just sort of designed there for passport control, where you can swipe, where you can present the card, present a fingerprint, put your face in front of a camera which uses facial recognition technology, and be certified that way? Is that being done already in some contexts?
Absolutely. Smart card technology in the form of the passport will have the digital image of the individual's face, so they'll have the scanned photograph in there as a digital image, and that could be used for facial recognition. In Europe, electronic passports will indeed have fingerprints as well, stored in them electronically for use only within the European member countries. They won't be available to other countries, certainly. Somebody with a European passport coming to the United States will not be able to get the fingerprint information. They will, however, be able to get to the electronic digital image of the face and the biographical information through the chip. So, yes, that technology is fully up and running.
Now, you mentioned smart cards can hold multiple certificates. Is it practical, or is there a business case for it, or is it being done to combine everything into some sort of omni card that would be both passport, driver's license, and credit card? Is there any interest in doing that among the players?
I don't see any interest today. Maybe that will change in time. I think at the moment there's enough issues with each of those applications on their own. For them to understand and learn how to use and deploy this technology, and then to find relationships that would work in between them, that's probably something that's potentially for the future.
Okay. Could you either talk about from experience or speculate a little bit about the applicability of the smart card and contactless smart card technology that we've been talking about to identify individuals to governments at their desire? In other words, if someone wants to get a benefit program or sign an initiative petition, or even if some other problems are solved, vote over the internet, what's the capability of a smart card with a FIPS 140 level certificate and encryption to unambiguously, accurately, and anti-fraudulently identify absolutely an individual for a government function?
Well, smart cards are ideally suited for all of the applications you described. They're very capable of ensuring that the character is present and that user is using the smart card, and the smart card, then having authenticated its user, it can authenticate itself to a trust portal such as a website that the government may provide. So smart cards are suited for enabling e-government applications, for presenting yourself at a voting station and registering yourself for voting. Extremely suited for the terms of what's coming under the Real ID Act.
Okay, talk about the Real ID Act and its reference to what, quote, a common machine-readable technology and what the possibilities are in the back and forth there on using contactless smart cards or contact smart cards under the Real ID Act and what's the significance of that?
Well, certainly the Real ID Act looks for machine-readable, interoperable credentials within state driver's licenses.
Right.
Identity cards, and smart card technology is proven to be very capable of doing this, and it's been endorsed both in the electronic passport program and the federal HSPD-12 program that's now going on. It's been issued by many corporations around the world, as well as countries for their identity cards. In the case of Real ID, states clearly will be responsible for determining and issuing cards to their citizens. And we believe strongly that smart cards have a great deal of benefit to helping them link the user to the document and the document to the application. Certainly, it exponentially increases the difficulty to fraud a document. It's exponentially harder to use one of these documents in a fraudulent manner if you pick it up off the street because your biometric information will not match. So the combination of biometrics and smart card technology in driver's licenses in the basis of the Real ID Act, I believe, will certainly increase significantly the chain of trust of knowing that you have got the correct person using a driver's license. They've only got one driver's license, they haven't got many, and that you can authenticate them to e-government services and voting and so forth. It's a terrifically powerful technology for this application.
Now, who in the government is... The law has been passed. It's been signed by the president. Who's responsible for developing the standards and deciding whether smart cards will be required under the Real ID Act?
That's been empowered to the Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
They are currently tasked to report on the findings, I think, later next year. And they currently have a project in place with people looking at evaluating many technologies and the cost of those, the benefits of those, the difficulty of using or the ease of using, and looking at the whole issue of what is the goal of interoperability and machine readability, and also providing that states issue driver's licenses which can be readily authenticated from when they're out of state into another state.
Okay, now, is the Smart Card Alliance actively lobbying the Department of Homeland Security on this? Is there a process?
Smart Card Alliance cannot lobby. It's a an organization which has government membership and as such is not allowed to lobby.
Okay.
But there are other folks independently in the industry that are clearly lobbying various folks in DHS and beyond. So we take it as individual company initiatives to do lobbying.
Okay. Why don't you wrap up by sort of moving us ahead the next 3 to 5 years in terms of globalization and smart cards and the role of the Smart Card Alliance and of your company, Xalto, in the process of creating essentially a global identification card?
Wow, that would be probably an interesting situation to foresee. I think at the moment we need to be more down to earth as to let's see the electronic passports get issued around the world, and once there's confidence in that technology and better security in the travel sector through knowing who is traveling and that person really does belong to that document and that document is valid, that'll be a tremendous move from where we are today. With the emergence of the need for stronger authentication and interoperability at Real ID Act in the United States, I would hope to see smart card technology considered and hopefully adopted into draft practices by individual states if they consider upgrading their programs. Which all in all, once that happens, you know, the ability to then attract other applications to use that trusted identity will be very significant for electronic commerce. So we will see potentially many applications then understand they've now got a point of reference that they can trust and that that person is the correct person to be using that credential, and that's validated by the issuing state or whoever government, and that will then allow them to build a stronger trust on their electronic transaction, be it financial, be it access, be it internet, and so forth. So I believe we've got the emergence of a much stronger trust base if we deploy the technology under Real ID within the United States.
Okay, and of course this would synergize with the ubiquitous wireless internet access regime that would essentially allow people to log in anywhere, anytime, through whatever network is most available to them.
There would certainly be one application that could make use of a trusted identity, yes.
Okay. Why don't you finish up with one more comparison between RFID and contactless smart cards and the need to educate people about the differences?
I think that's extremely important. The RFID is a very dumb technology. It can only transmit a simple serial number, and that's all it can do. That is inappropriate for tracking people or being used for anything to do with people. People deserve a much more privacy-enhanced and privacy-conscious technology, and that in the form of smart card technology that will ensure that their information is maintained and kept private at all times, and that no leakage of information is possible. And with correct design of a security policy, any tracking information that is available is contained within the system and is understood by the user, and it's not going to compromise their trust and confidence in why they've been issued that particular technology. So the difference between RFID and contactless smart card technology is black and white. They are very different technologies, and RFID is appropriate for simple, low-cost, disposable applications. Smart card technology is completely suited and been proven to be for anything to do with identity control and identity management of people.
Okay, I hate to keep ending with more and going on to more questions, but I don't want to lose the opportunity to have you talk about optical smart cards and that can hold even more information than normal smart cards, and what the how that works and what the application of that might be as a further adjunct to what we've been talking about.
I'm not sure I understand optical smart cards. I understand optical cards.
Right, that's what I meant. Optical cards that can store a lot of medical records and.
The optical card I believe that you're describing is basically a CD type technology, the same one you'd burn a CD on a computer, except it's not a standard format; it's a proprietary format.
Right.
And it's on the back of a card. In fact, the Citizenship and Immigration Service issue that today to permanent residents in the form of a green card.
Right.
There's the rear of the card has got a optical material on it, which is rectangular in shape, and I understand can hold up to 4 megabytes of information.
Can that be combined with smart cards for access to that data, or with the kind of encryption that we've been talking about?
Well, it could, but it lends me to think it's rather impractical. You're carrying around 4 megabytes of data, then you've got to put it into a proprietary reader to read that information, which are only available from one company.
Right.
It seems to me that it's really an inappropriate way of managing information.
Okay.
Electronic records probably ought to be centralized or in an environment which is protected with access by smart cards.
Right.
I'm not sure that you need to have all of that on your card, as if you lose the card, you've lost all the information, which may not be terribly clever. So optical card technology, I think, has really come to the end of its useful life.
Okay, because that data can be stored in central databases and accessed through the encryption and other protections of the smart card.
Exactly. We can completely secure the databases from any attack by having a smart card be the keys to unlock it and to decrypt it. So there is no need to carry large amounts of information around. Everybody now has access to internet systems, and the access codes on a smart card can be used once the user of the smart card has shown their presence by PIN code or biometric, and then that can authenticate and authorize the card to then get access to the information.
Right, and while we haven't...
That is using standard off-the-shelf technology available from many companies based on open standards, whereas optical card is based from one company's proprietary technology.
Right, and in fact, we haven't talked about it. The applications of smart cards in the medical sector are immense, because if the records are computerized and available that way, all a person needs to do is present their smart card and access it, and then it can be sent around, and the insurance data and the medical data and all of that can be coordinated in a secure way.
Yeah, Yeah, and there are some initiatives going on with the federal government at the electronic record management right now. There's some RFPs that have been published, and people are bidding on those as far as looking at provisioning electronic medical record systems. I believe that smart cards should be a significant part of the access controls for those.
How big an industry is the smart card industry now, and what are its prospects for growth?
The latest figures probably need to look at some Frost and Sullivan reports, but it's there's about 500 million smart cards produced every year in the industry worldwide. In the United States, we have hundreds of millions of cards being produced for people using mobile handsets for GSM systems, and we see an increasing number being used for identity management, for banking, and so on. So it's a very large market. We see a lot of applications adopting smart cards. So on that basis, we're encouraged to see the smart card technology used to secure the assets of transactions and privacy of information.
So it's really a core technology of the internet age.
It's been going for 25 years, so absolutely. I think the internet is a very good example of what is lacking in significant security today, and a smart card certainly could be a very valuable asset to companies and individuals who are looking to have a better identity management and identity privacy capability on the internet. Today, usernames and passwords are extremely vulnerable, and I think smart card technology has a place in helping secure the internet system to bring the trust level up to, again, increase people's confidence to use it to engage in e-commerce.
So for those reasons and all the other ones we've been talking about, an understanding of how smart cards work and what they can do and how they can protect privacy and data integrity is key to their successful deployment.
Absolutely. And that's what our company also strives to do. We try to educate. We try to provide as much understanding of the technology as we can. It's a very diverse technology. We can use it in many applications. The heart of every application is a security agent in the hands of the user on behalf of the issuer.
Okay, I want to thank you for contributing to the educational process by talking to us today on Utopia Media, and I hope we can continue this conversation as the technology evolves and as its deployment progresses.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Bye.